Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Rai, text number 90. Krishna ra partigna drita sarva kale ache. Yayai che bhaje Krishna tare bhaje tai che. Krishna ra partigna drita sarva kale ache. Ye ai che bhaje Krishna tare bhaje tai che. Krishna ra pratigna drita sarva kale ache. Ye ai che bhaje Krishna tare bhaje tai che. Krishna ra pratigna drita sarva kale ache. Jai che bhaje Krishna tare bhaje tai che. Krishna ra pratigna drita sarva kale ache. Yayai che bhaje Krishna tare bhaje tai che. Krishna ra pratigna drita sarva kale ache. Yayai che bhaje Krishna tare bhaje tai che. Krishna ra pratigna drita sarva kale ache. Yayai che bhaje Krishna tare bhaje tai che. Krishna ra of Lord Krishna. Pratigna, the promise. Drita, firm. Sarvakale, in all time. Yachi, there is. Ye, anyone. Yaichi, just as. Bhaji, renders service. Krishna, Lord Krishna. Tare, him. Bhaji, reciprocates with. Taiti, so for all time. Translation. Lord Krishna has made a firm promise for all time. If one renders service unto him, Krishna correspondingly gives him an equal amount of success in devotional service to the Lord. Please repeat. Lord Krishna has made a firm promise.
Lord Krishna has made a firm promise.
For all time. If one renders service unto him, Krishna correspondingly gives him an equal amount of success in devotional service to the Lord. This is a long purport, and the verse actually imbibes a principle. Who can say what the next verse would be with this principle being stated from Bhagavad Gita? Krishna correspondingly responds, Vegavati. Very good. Yayatamam prapajante mam tamstatayava bhajamyaham mamavart vanuvartante manusiparthasarsham. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path. This is an absolute statement. But it's interesting that an absolute statement, which means it's an axiomatic truth in itself, can be seen from different points of view. How is it that something that's absolute can be seen from different points of view? Like 2 plus 2 equals 4. Can't really see it from any other perspective or interpret it. But yet, in Krishna's pastimes, in Krishna's literary world also, one of the most famous ones is when Lord Chaitanya fell into the sea. If you read that pastimes, there's some beautiful contradictory analogies and metaphors that are given. So here, similarly, we have a circumstance where there's an axiomatic truth, a principle being stated, but it can be used or viewed in different points of view. So I wanted to point that out before reading the purport, because Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas have viewed it one way, but Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, using Ramananda Roy as the vehicle to speak, has sort of presented this concept in a literary device. So I wanted to point it out. Can you turn it to text number 92 and 93? So we have Lord Krishna has made a firm promise for all time. If one renders service unto him, Krishna correspondingly gives him an equal amount of success in devotional service to the Lord. Then the verse from Bhagavad Gita. According to Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 4.11, all of them as they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. Then he's going to quote the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this trend, this train of thought, requires a little bit of an explanation. We may remember what's going on here in the conversation is Ramananda Roy is explaining to Lord Chaitanya higher and higher levels of love and intimacy, different rasas. In the beginning he was explaining about different activities in the material world, and Lord Chaitanya continued to reject them as external. Then finally he came to the internal. And then he went through Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. So in the last couple of weeks, he's been explaining how the characteristics and features in the Madhurya rasa are superior to all the other rasas and include all the different concepts and features of the previous rasas. Remember that example we had a few weeks ago of the different elements, how the element of ether is present in all of the different elements of material nature. So similarly, the features of Shantarasa are prominent or present in all the different features. So actually what's being the crescendo of the conversation is that the Madhurya Rasa is the greatest rasa. It's the most full and exciting and satisfying to Krishna rasa. So he's in that part of the conversation and he's using this literary device to reveal something about it. So he's saying, in whatever way one surrenders to Krishna, he can reciprocate. He's Rasaraj. He's the supreme personality of Godhead, and he can reciprocate no matter how one approaches him. However, in text 92, states in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that Lord Krishna cannot proportionately reciprocate devotional service in the Madhurya Rasa. Therefore, he remains a debtor to such devotees. And he quotes that Napariyaham famous verse. When the gopis were overwhelmed with dissatisfaction due to Lord Krishna's absence from the Rasa Lila, Krishna returned to them and told them, "My dear gopis, our meeting is certainly freed from all material contamination. I must admit that in many lives it would be impossible for me to repay my debt to you because you have cut off all bondage to family life just to search for me. Consequently, I am unable to repay you. Therefore, please be satisfied with your honest activities in this regard." So what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is doing literarily is he's showing how although Krishna made a promise due to the superiority of Madhurya Rasa, when one's in that rasa, that conquers even Krishna's promise that he can reciprocate. So I just wanted to bring that aspect up about this. We'll read more about that, obviously, in the weeks that will come. Now, to take this concept of I reciprocate according to the way one worships me and approaches me, there's a lengthy purport, so let's go through it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Verse again. Lord Krishna has made a firm promise for all time. If one renders service unto him, Krishna correspondingly gives him an equal amount of success in devotional service to the Lord. First sentence in this purport is a principle in itself. It is a completely mistaken idea that one can worship Krishna in any form or in any way and still attain the ultimate result of receiving the favor of the Lord. This decision is made by gross materialistic men. Generally, such men say that you can manufacture your own way of worshiping the Supreme Lord, and that any type of worship is sufficient to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Certainly, there are different means of attaining different results in fruitive activity, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and austerity. Crude men, therefore, say that if one adopts any of these methods, one achieves the Supreme Personality of Godhead's favor. They claim that it doesn't matter what kind of method one adopts. A general example is given. If one wishes to arrive at a certain place, there are many roads leading there, and one can go to that place by any one of the roads. Similarly, these gross materialists say that there are many different ways to attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They claim that one can conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Goddess Durga, Goddess Kali, Lord Shiva, demigod Ganesh, Lord Ramachandra, Krishna, impersonal Brahman, or whatever. And one can chant the Lord's name in any way and in any form and ultimately become one. Such materialists claim that the result is the same. They also say that a man may have different names, but he'll answer to any of them if called by any one of them. Therefore, they claim that there is no need to chant Hare Krishna mantra. If one chants the name of God, Kali, Durga, Shiva, Ganesh, or anyone else, the result will be the same. Such claims made by mental speculators are no doubt very pleasing to mental speculators. But those who are actually in knowledge do not admit such conclusions, which are against the authority of the Shastras. A bona fide Acharya will certainly not accept such a conclusion. As Krishna clearly states in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti deva vratate van pratinyanti pratirvataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajino pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth amongst the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth amongst such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. Only the devotees of the Lord can be admitted into his kingdom. Not demigod worshippers, karmis, yogis, or anyone else. There's a nice example, or a nice description, explanation, in Brahma Samhita, in the acts of creation. In this verse, ye yata mam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham, in the concept of Krishna will reciprocate with a devotee according to the way they approach him. We should understand that we are not in a very good position. We're in the material world. This means that somewhere, deep down in the core of our jiva-like, jiva entity, something's not correct. Something requires adjustment. Because otherwise, why would we be here? Why would, what propelled us to this atmosphere? If Krishna reciprocates, and we are indeed true lovers of Krishna, then why would he propel us? Why would energy propel us to this realm? And it's described that when the material world was created, when it is created, Mahavishnu, all the different universes come out of his body, and in each universe there's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Lord Brahma, we know, comes out of his navel in the lotus flower. And then there's a principle which comes out of Lord Brahma, the Rudra principle. The Rudra principle also exists between the material world and the spiritual world. There's the eternal Lord Shiva and Shiva Dham. And what happens is that whenever, even in this material world, whenever you go to a holy place, especially in India, where holy places exist all over, wherever there's a Vishnu temple or a Krishna temple, nearby, there's generally a Shiva temple. That Shiva is called a Dikpal. Dikpal, like in Mathura, there's 8 Dikpals. They protect each of the 8 directions. And it's described in the Brahma Samhita that if someone tries to approach, not just physically, but spiritually or subtly, if one tries to approach the Supreme Lord in his abode without a pure desire, then what happens is that the Rudra principle, it's a subtle energy, deflects the living energy away from that destination to some destination suitable according to their desire. The karmis, the gyanis, the yogis, and in this circumstance, we just read about worshippers of the demigods. So there's a whole management system of energy which is more powerful than the tiny living entities, and as they approach according to their desire, they're deflected and propelled. There's, what is it called, prakshekatmika energy and avaranatmika shakti. Prakshekatmika shakti is an energy of the Lord that pushes, I always remember it because the P, prakshekatmika, pushes the living entity. And then avaranatmika energy covers the living entity in that situation so that they become satisfied. Semi. Just like that example of the time that Indra became a pig. The king of heaven became a pig. But because of avaranatmika shakti, the covering potency of the Lord, then that living entity became satisfied. Brahma came and said, come on, let's go back to heaven. He said, why? I'm satisfied here. I'm having a good time. So that avaranatmika shakti is although in one sense it gives us a sense of satisfaction, it's not really a real one. It's not really satisfying because the nature of the soul is eternally blissful and it wants to be with Krishna. So after some time, after that temporary satisfaction dwindles, the nature of the soul will propel the living entity back to its sojourn to try and again find Krishna. So through 8,400,000 species and all these different forms and everything, everybody's approaching, trying to find, that's why in the Krishna book, that introduction that George Harrison wrote, everyone's trying to find Krishna. They may not know it, but they are. So that's because the nature of the soul is impulsing the living entity to try and relate with Krishna. So here, it's being described that it's not true that whatever way you approach, therefore you'll reach that supreme destination. It's not a fact. And the acharyas are very detailed in their explanations of these things. Only the devotees of the Lord can be admitted to his kingdom, not the demigod worshippers, karmis, yogis, or anyone else. A person who desires elevation to the heavenly planets worships various demigods. And material nature may be pleased to offer such devotees their desired position. Consequently, material nature gives one's own nature, by which he increases affection for different types of demigods. We read a nice reading in Bhagavad Gita yesterday. And one of the things we're dealing with in our japa workshop coming up is how desire propels the living entity. So it's unique that the accumulated karma, the activities one performs, the desire one develops propels the living entity into a body. And once you get a body, you have to act like that. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the soul. Once it enters the body of a dog, it has to act like a dog. It's like when you buy a ticket on an airplane. Once you're on the plane, you've gone through, you did it. You went into the thing, you gave your money, you got your ticket, you went to the airport, you stood in line. You finally walked through the whole line, you got onto the plane. This was all your doing. The living entity's desire, wanted to go someplace, got on the plane. Once you're on the plane, then you have to go wherever that plane goes. You can't change your destination in the middle and say, oh, God, I wished I had gone to another place. You're already on that plane. You're already destined to be there. So demigod worshippers get their result. However, Bhagavad Gita says that demigod worship is meant for men who have lost all their intelligence. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Although one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, the results of such a benediction are limited. Antavantu palam tesham tad bhavati alpamedasam devan deva yajoyanti madbhaktayanti mam api. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods. But my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. Being elevated to the heavenly planets or other material planets does not mean attaining an eternal life of knowledge and bliss. At the end of the material world, all attainments of material elevation will also end. Again, according to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, only those who engage in his loving devotional service will be admitted to the spiritual world and return to Godhead, not others. Bhakti mama vijananti avanyas chasmi tattataha tatta mam tattato gyantva vishate taranam taram. One can understand the supreme personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. It's also a nice concept. Even though we're engaged in bhakti, in devotional service, as we've been hearing from Ramananda Roy, speaking to Lord Chaitanya, there are different levels of that bhakti. So he's describing here that when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, full consciousness in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter. Let's read that. Twelve eight. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always, without a doubt. Fix your mind. How many of us, 24 hours a day, 60 minutes an hour, 60 seconds a minute, think of Krishna? No, it's flickering. We come in, we go out. We come in, we go out. We come in, we go out. So, then he says in the next verse, O winner of wealth, Arjuna, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, you will develop a desire to attain me. So there is a prescription. There's medicine for the disease. The disease is we can't think of Krishna 24 hours a day because of that prakshikatmika and avaranatmika. These energies are more powerful than us, and they're pushing us according to our desire in a direction away from Krishna. But he says, if you follow these practices, then you will develop a desire to attain me. This is the whole process of Krishna consciousness in a nutshell. But even though you surrender, sometimes we're holding back. So I found a nice tape where Srila Prabhupada is talking about this particular concept of yayatham mam prapadyante, and people who actually surrender and go to Vrindavan after retiring materialistic life. Is that... But there's a hitch. So let's hear what Srila Prabhupada says. Can we have that clip? And there's a text also, Keshav, so people can follow.
Yathamang prabhajyante tang tataiva bhajami hum. It is up to you. So, if you surrender 10%, then I am also fully 10% for you. But if you have got discrimination, certain percentage for my wife, certain percentage for my children, certain percentage for my country, certain percentage, so on, ultimately zero for God. Then God is also zero. It is up to you. But if you take God, you are my everything, then He is also for you everything. It is up to you. Parabharata. He does not discriminate. You discriminate. There are many persons, they come to Vrindavan, and whatever they have earned throughout the whole life, so they give everything to the wife and children and make contract that I am going to Vrindavan, you send me at least 200 rupees for my expenses. And what about 2 lakhs and crore? That is yours. The 2 lakhs and crores what are earned, that is for you, my dear children, my dear wife. And you give me 200 for God. So I am going to India. So Krishna is very intelligent. All right, I am also for you, 200. I am also for you, 200. Dejathama, this is the meaning. Real meaning. Dejathama, Krishna is for you. It is called, what is the exact word? Responsive cooperation. If you have surrendered to me 100%, then I respond 100%. If you have surrendered 25%, then I respond 25%. This is good.
Srila Prabhupada continues. Impersonalists. So this up to this point, the purport was pretty much about demigod worship, materialistic worship, and the difference between that and devotional service. Now he explains more about impersonalists. Impersonalists cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is not possible for them to enter into the spiritual kingdom of God and return home back to Godhead. Actually, one attains different results by different means. It is not that all achievements are one and the same. Those interested in the four principles of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, cannot be compared to those interested in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore says, Divyanga Prabhu, can you chant that? Thank you. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. This Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are pure in heart. The highest truth is reality, distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Srila Vyasadeva, is sufficient in itself for God realization. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, he becomes attached to the Supreme Lord. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's like when you get a prescription. One time Samapriya had some kind of like infection in India, and we got the prescription. And it was for like 100 milligrams. But she doesn't like taking medicine so much, and her body's sensitive, a little more so than most doctors think. So we figured, okay, we'll give her half. And that way it'll combat it without the side effects. And she kept taking the antibiotic like days and days and days, and nothing happened. She still was sick. So we went back to the doctor and said, he said, well, did you take the whole thing? No, we only took half. Well, you didn't get... What happens is the bacteria is fighting you. We were using weapons that weren't fully powerful enough to fight off that infection. So we weren't getting the benefit. The negative was stronger. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam is superior to all the other Vedic literatures, Puranas, Upanishads, which were compiled by Srila Vyasadeva. We know from the Srimad Bhagavatam story how he was dissatisfied because there's so many other things in those books which attract one materially. So many, you know, do this ritual, get that result. Surrender to this, get that result. Here, completely freed from material motivation, this is again back to that deepest part of our heart. Who remembers when we spoke a couple weeks ago about the two qualities, the two characteristics of the Shanta Rasa, which are present in all the rasas? Can anybody remember those two different characteristics? Excellent. The two are detached from the material, everything material, and attached to Krishna. So, what did we read there in the beginning? Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. So we're back in our heart here. When we're doing something, when we're performing some seva, is the heart desiring something material in payment or in reciprocation? Please, Krishna, give me this, that, or the other thing. I'm trying so hard for this. I'm doing this for you. It's not really for you. It's mixed. It's for you and me. Those who aspire after liberation attempt to merge into the impersonal Brahman. To this end, they execute ritualistic religious ceremonies. But Srimad Bhagavatam considers this to be a cheating process. Indeed, such people can never dream of returning home back to Godhead. There is a gulf of difference between the goal of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, and the goal of devotional service. The goddess Durga is the superintending deity of this material world, which is made of material elements. The demigods are simply different directors engaged in operating the departments of material activities, and they are under the influence of the same material energy. Krishna's internal potencies, however, have nothing to do with the creation of this cosmic material world. The spiritual world and spiritual activities are under the direction of the internal spiritual potencies, and such activities are performed by Yogamaya, the spiritual energy. Yogamaya is the spiritual or internal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are interested in being promoted to the spiritual world and engaging in service of the Lord attain spiritual perfection under the control of Yogamaya. Those interested in material promotion engage in ritualistic religious ceremonies and economic development to develop sense gratification. They ultimately attempt to merge into the impersonal existence of the Lord. Such people generally become impersonalists. They are interested in worshipping Lord Shiva or Goddess Durga, but their return is 100% materialistic. Now the last two sentences in that paragraph tend the mind to say, well, that doesn't relate to me, that doesn't refer to me. I don't worship Lord Shiva or Durga for material benefit. But if we read the first part of the purport, it's describing that there are two energies. We know that we're the tatastha. The tatastha energy is compared to like that place on the beach when you're walking. Sometimes you walk along the beach and waves are coming in, and sometimes your feet are wet, and the waves go out, and sometimes your feet are dry. So that area that's sometimes covered by material energy and sometimes covered by the material energy is compared to that part of the beach that's compared to water or dry land. It's in between. And the tatastha shakti can be covered by the spiritual energy, influenced by the spiritual energy, or the material energy. So what we do is mix them. We have some spiritual aspiration, but we also have this material underlying motive and momentum and conditioning. So the whole idea of Krishna consciousness and the practice of bhakti is to gradually change our focus, change our attention, change our attraction. Right now it's spontaneously influenced by the material energy. If the right sense gratification comes about, we just bow down and go. But by gradual practice, controlling those impulses, chanting the holy name of the Lord, coming and serving the devotees, seeing the deities, we're coming in contact with the spiritual atmosphere. And the more we absorb ourselves, the more we sponge up the spiritual, the more we become under the influence of the spiritual, the more the material gradually slackens. That's the whole process. And we have to be patient, enthusiastic, and utsahanisthadaya, confident. Enthusiastic, confident, and patient. So it's a long purport. Two more paragraphs. Following the example of the gopis, the devotees sometimes worship the goddess Katyayani, but they understand that Katyayani is an incarnation of Yogamaya. The gopis worshipped Katyayani Yogamaya to attain Krishna for their husband. On the other hand, it is stated in the Saptashati scripture. The Saptashati scripture is the Durga Purana, where she is glorified. Stated that a Kshatriya king named Suratha and a rich Vaishya named Samadhi worshipped material nature in the form of the goddess Durga to attain material perfection. If one tries to mingle the worship of Yogamaya with Mahamaya, considering them one and the same, he does not show very high intelligence. The idea that everything is one is a kind of foolishness indulged in by those with less brain substance. Fools and rascals say that the worship of Yogamaya and Mahamaya is the same. This conclusion is simply the result of mental speculation and has no practical effect. In the material world, sometimes one produces a title to an utterly worthless thing. And in Bengal, this is known as giving a blind child a name like Padmalochan, which means lotus-eyed. One may foolishly call a blind child Padmalochan, but such an appellation does not appear bear any meaning. So worship of the demigods. Who can give another example of worshiping demigods to attain the favor of Krishna? No, Katyayani was given in this purport. Who can give another example of worshiping a demigod to attain the favor of Krishna? Lord Shiva. What's his name? Gopiswar, Mahadev, yes. The gopis worshipped Lord Shiva because he also... So the idea is motive, same activity. Yesterday we were listening to a lecture, Prabhupada said, the materialists can't understand the difference between what a devotee is doing and what a materialistic man is doing. A person has a hammer and some nails and some paint and he's building a building. He's just working. But one is doing it for Krishna, building a temple. Everybody's out here, we do the cleaning or whatever, dancing and chanting. Same activities. But some are, it's everything comes down to motive. So the demigods can be worshipped to attain the favor of Krishna, to please Krishna. In the spiritual world, the absolute Lord is always identical with his name, fame, form, qualities, and pastimes. Such identity is impossible in the material world, where the name of a person is different from the person himself. The Supreme Lord has many holy names like Paramatma, Brahman, and the Creator. But one who worships the Lord as the Creator cannot understand the relationship between a devotee and the Lord in five types of transcendental mellows, nor can he understand the conception of Krishna. One can understand the six transcendental opulences of the Lord. One cannot understand the six transcendental opulences of the Lord simply by understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead as impersonal, Brahman. Impersonal realization of the absolute truth is certainly transcendental. But this does not mean that one can understand Satchit Ananda form of the Lord. Similarly, Paramatma realization is also an incomplete understanding of the absolute truth. The plenary expansion of the absolute truth within everyone's heart is the Paramatma feature of the Lord. A devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan cannot actually understand the transcendental attractive features of Krishna, Is Krishna also in our heart, or is it just Paramatma? Krishna? Oh, very good. Of course he's there. On the other hand, the devotee of Krishna who is attached to the sublime attractive feature of the Lord does not consider Narayan very important. When the gopis sometimes saw Krishna in the form of Narayan, they were not very attracted to him. The gopis never addressed Krishna as Rukmini Raman. Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan addressed him as Radha Raman, Nanda Nandana, Yasoda Nandana, but not as Vasudev Nandana or Devaki Nandana. Although according to material conception, Narayan, Rukmini Raman, and Krishna are one and the same, in the spiritual world one cannot use the name of Krishna in the place of Rukmini Raman or Narayan. If one does so out of a poor fund of knowledge, his mellow with the Lord becomes spiritually faulty and is called Rasabhasa, an overlapping of transcendental mellows. The advanced devotee who has actually realized the transcendental features of the Lord will not commit the mistake of creating Rasabhasa situation by using one name for another. Because of the influence of Kali Yuga, there is much Rasabhasa in the name of extravagance and liberal-mindedness. Such fanaticism is not very much appreciated by pure devotees. So in the last purport there, he goes into a nice, a little more nectar-filled description of how even in transcendental world, just like that verse, Vedanti tatvam yajgan advayam brahmi ti paramatme ti bhagavan iti sabdite. Although it's absolute, there are different features. Same thing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he can reciprocate unlimitedly with anyone who approaches him in any fashion. That's the more or less purport and meaning of this particular verse, which will be discussed by Ananta Chaitanya next Saturday also. So the Bhagavad Gita verse. So the verse itself again. Lord Krishna has made a firm promise for all time. If one renders service unto him, Krishna correspondingly gives him an equal amount of success in devotional service to the Lord. Are there any questions or comments? Stitadi Prabhu. Stitadi Muni.
Interesting how within the context of that purport you just read, that Prabhupada was equating that liberal mindedness with another sort of fanaticism.
Very nice, yes. It was beautiful, wasn't it? How he talks about liberal mindedness and fanaticism as the same thing, whereas we often think, oh, that's exact opposite concepts. Madhurya, yeah. Brother? Oh no, you have to speak into the microphone. Thank you.
So one of the points, the main point was that as you give to Krishna, he reciprocates equally. But we've always heard that you give a little and Krishna gives thousands of times more to you. So how does that fit?
Oh, very nice. The intimacy in reality, which exists between the Lord and the living entity, mamayvam sa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, we are all living entities. Our spiritual sparks, expansions of the Lord in a jiva form. It says that he expanded to enjoy. He wants to reciprocate. So, because that impulse in some souls has not fully developed, there needs to be a correctional operation, a house of correction, like a jail, is meant to help a person, if possible, a criminally minded person, become eligible and properly situated so they can go back into society. So similarly, the whole material world is constructed and manifested, and its purpose is to correct that impulse which lies deep in the heart of the living entity and correct it to the point where it again relates to Krishna in rasa. So my understanding of that topic that you just asked about would be that in the material world, if someone makes just a little bit of an effort to worship and serve Krishna, he is so enthusiastic and so desirous. He has this whole creation for that purpose. Yes. And he gives some mercy. He gives some more in an abundance than the little effort offered by the devotee. But as the relationship develops and increases, then that reciprocation goes through different transformations. That's why a lot of people, when they first come to Krishna consciousness, it's a huge mercy and really attraction, and then somehow just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And then you learn the details, the fine print, how there's more to it. To really be happy and attain eternity is not whimsical. It's not something that's going to happen without great effort. So that would be my kind of like understanding of that, that there's obviously great mercy from Krishna's side, but the necessity of any relationship is that both parties are equally enthusiastic, and we're not. So he gives that mercy to try and excite us and our part in the relationship. Madame Mahaprabhu.
I thought about that a couple of times, and there's that nursery song that you say, two birds sitting in a tree, one bird's Krishna, one bird's me. I'm always in distress trying to find happiness, and Krishna's waiting day by day. One will finally turn his way. And then I went to, from there, there's also the prodigal son that they threw him a party. You know, he says, how come you're throwing me a party? Because he went away. So this, I call it the grace period, as you're pointing out, that in the beginning you get all this extra mercy, the grace period, without actually doing your share, so to speak. And then the last way that I conceived of it was a secret admirer, that a secret admirer always has a relationship with the other person, but the situation was never correct for the relationship to grow. So now, after a certain amount of time has gone by, the person who had the like unrequited love turns and starts to show some interest. The first person who had already the relationship already built up is overly well and happy at that. So at just the beginning part there. And then later on, as you pointed out, it's when the relationship actually is going on, then it's a
nice. Also, I think it's a part. An idea of perception. The devotee will always feel that Krishna is being merciful, more merciful than my endeavor. In love, one of the features, I just looked it up in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because next week, Friday, is Ras Lila Purnim, which begins the month of Damodar or Kartik. So, as we know, from Vedic literatures, that there are different expansions of Krishna, and they, just like when we do a tilak on the body, they even preside over different parts of our body. So there are different expansions of the Lord that preside over different periods of time, and the month of Damodar is a month that's presided over by that personality. And in the Padma Purana, there's a description that the nature of that person, that particular, everybody has nature, qualities, name, form, qualities, and pastimes. The quality, the characteristic of that person, Damodar, is that when somebody does just a little something for him, he takes it as a great thing. So the statement is that simply by offering a little lamp daily to the deity of Damodar in the month of, he takes that as, oh my God, this is so wonderful that my devotee is doing that. That's his nature. He sees like that. So devotees take advantage and yes, do whatever they can. They try to do some. That's the reason that we made this japa workshop during the month of Kartik. Take advantage. It's a personality, and it's like a birthday. If somebody's having a birthday and you do something then for them, then they feel, oh, special. They feel special that day, and you help them feel special. And then the loving reciprocation between people becomes more developed, richer, tastier. So it's an opportunity for us to enter deeper into that loving relationship. One last thing, anybody, if you are planning to come to the Japa workshop, we're asking everybody to please sign up because we're arranging prasadam. The program is from 10 to 12, 12:30 on Saturday, and then prasadam, and then 2 to 4 in the afternoon. So we want to know how much prasadam to arrange, and also we have some printed materials, and we want to know how many to print out. Yes, Keshava Prabhu.
Can we also say that it's like a prisoner who was very well behaved, he gets an early parole?
Ah, very good. Yes. Nice example. Jai, all go Bhagavati.
Hare Krishna. I was going to ask a question about, I've heard that, you know, you make an offering to Krishna and he's pleased to get it, but he's also looking to see what you're holding back. Hmm? Is there a verse that is related to that concept?
I don't know of one.
Okay.
Other than this one. Yeah, yes, I'm going to put in, and maybe the young people.
Prabhupada was saying, actually it was from that, there's a disc of quotes, of book distribution quotes from letters and darshans and from his books. And one of them says that Krishna is not so impressed by what you give to him, but Krishna notices what you keep for yourself. So
that's also like this tape we listen to. Yes, 200. You send me 200 every month for God. But the 2 lakhs and the 2 crores, say, was the wife. He sees that. He's intelligent. So that's another example of how that would be.
An interesting thing yesterday. I was on Sangirtan as usual and distributing books to mostly Baptists and born again Christians and evangelical Christians. It's just one of those days where, you know, you give them a book and they go, oh, I can't take this. I'm a Jehovah's Witness, that kind of thing. But then I came to a car and there were some teenagers in there and I gave them the book and the kid jumps out of the car with the book in his hand. It's chant and be happy that I handed him. He goes, I love mantra. And he comes and he hugs me. He says, Hare Krishna, thank you so much for this. And I was just seeing the contrast to the people I was meeting were like, no, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, I can't take this. They were giving me donations, saying, here's a donation for your cause, but I don't want this book, it's against my God. And then you meet somebody who is just for whatever reason, you know, he's fortunate, and he jumps out of the car and he has to embrace me, give a donation, and they gave him another book. And then this other kid saw this and he came over and said, what do you got? What's your spiritual thing? Because he heard mantra. And so I gave him the journey, you know, the journey of self-discovery. And the kid just, and he gives me a donation. He goes, I really like this. Can I give you something? And he pulls out one of these little gree-gree satchels and he goes, here, and he gives me a crystal. He goes, I just want to share something with you. And he was so happy. He came back later. I was still in the parking lot. He came back and he wanted some more books. I gave the guy about 6 different books. And to me, those kind of things, they just make my life, because you go on and on, and I go out 4 or 5 days a week, and I meet all kinds of people that are not at all interested, and I try to get them to give the book. And I always remember in the back of my mind, Prabhupada said, if we strain a little, and he takes a book home, so life can be changed. So I always think like that when I'm straining out there, because, you know, you just never know what they're going to say when you walk up to people and go, hi, you know, here's God. He's dancing with other people's wives and he's blue. You know what I mean? These things, that's all they see. They see materially and they don't get it, you know. But then once in a while, Krishna lets you meet some soul who's just not so unfortunate and they get that mercy and it gets me going. So today I can go out again re-inspired, you know, like there's jivas out there that are ready for Krishna. We just have to try to find them and come in contact with them.
Nice. Thank you. It also exemplifies the principle that if we're enthusiastic and approach Krishna with that enthusiasm, and you naturally, you gave the books, you're thinking of that person. So similarly, if we're enthusiastic, then we attract the person who we're trying to love. Samapriya?
Just one thing. Also, the devotee is looking at Krishna thinking, my Lord, I'm offering you what I can, and I know that I have so much more that I'm not offering you. And Krishna, in the other way, there's another reciprocation, how Krishna is very pleased, just like during Damodar month, that, oh, you're giving me so much. I mean, if we can't think of it as a material thing, walking around, oh, my God, Krishna's seeing everything that I'm not giving. And that can be, you can become neurotic, thinking that you're holding back so much from Krishna, which, you know, there's a certain stage when we achieve that stage of devotional service and love that, you know, Lord Chaitanya is praying in deep humility that Krishna will accept him. That's one thing. But Krishna's very kind. We can't forget that also, that Krishna sees and he's very merciful. And the thing about devotional service is as we engage, as we chant Hare Krishna, we become purified, and then the desire to serve becomes more and more. So we have to be a little bit careful that thinking that Krishna, oh, he's just seeing all the things I'm hiding. He's seeing that too, but he's also saying, don't worry about it, come keep giving, keep doing.
There's a nice example in the 11th canto that it says that three different things happen when one engages in devotional service. Just like a hungry man, a hungry person, when they eat, three different things happen. What's the first thing? That as you eat, your hunger becomes dissipated. It's slow. The more you eat, the less hungry you are. So the more spiritually enthused you are, the less materially inclined you are. Secondly, you get the satisfaction and wonderful taste of the food. So the spiritual taste gets cultivated. And thirdly, you get nutrients, and you get stronger, and the material things go away. So in the same way, as we serve Krishna, gradually all those things we're holding back will naturally become less and less, just like when one eats, their hunger transforms. Jai, Chaitanya, was there more?
Oh. Thank you very much for nice class. I really like the presentation too. It makes you come here. I had heard in Japa workshop that when you start chanting, Krishna appears in your heart. First there is just Vishnu, Paramatma, you ask the question. And also I remember vaguely that then Radha and Krishna also appear in your heart at a certain time. But I don't remember the whole thing. I was wondering, do you know anything, or can you...
Just like we were talking about that one verse, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Sabjite, there are different aspects of the absolute truth. So the whole talk between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya is discussing how there are different rasas, and the nature of each different living entity is in a particular rasa, and that has to be developed. But we can't artificially do that. So it has to come naturally. It's just like if a plant, if you put a seed into the ground, and it's a mango tree, and you want to have the mangoes. So the sprout starts to come up out of the ground, and you think, oh, we should make it go faster. Let me pull it so it will get faster. What will happen? You ruin the plant. It has to come naturally. There's a superior energy which will allow that to grow, and it will naturally come out. But you have to be patient. So there's a lot of different aspects to that question. But basically, yes, ultimately everybody, the purpose of the material world is to bring everyone to that stage where the Lord will be in our hearts. George, if you want to say something?
Yeah. Thank you for the class. Very nice presentation. I just the point you said where you both are referring to how devotees, we don't actually make devotees. Prabhupada said to some devotees in a room conversation, we don't actually make devotees. It's people who are ready for Krishna consciousness. We're just finding them. So like you're saying, Prabhupada, I heard said this. So it's very nice if we're out and we see somebody who has some interest. This is like very special. We should really try to fan that, reach them, because it's very rare.
Yes, it is. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.